I knew that'd be in there. I knew that'd That's be in intro. There. That's the
and
intro.
We'll see you next time.
We'll see you next time. Iron Maiden, that's it. That's it. What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Heels and Quads on the Heels and Quads Media Channel, because we're a media conglomerate now.
We are a conglomerate. We got all kinds of shit going on now.
Uh-huh. There's a lot happening, and there's a Patreon Fantasy Football League as well that we're playing in at patreon.com/heelsandquads.
And if you want to sign up for Patreon now, you can get in on it next year. We can move it from 10 to 12, or I think 12 is the last. I'd like the Patreon to be so big we have like 8 different leagues.
That'd be cool. Yeah. Yeah, I would like that. I was talking to a guy the other day about, he plays in a league that's like $400 buy-in, but he said like the only people who don't really get paid are like the bottom three. Like everybody gets a chunk, but it's a lot of money.
Kind of like DraftKings, where like if you place like in a certain tier, you get a little chunk of something.
Yeah, like if you're the best, the least best, or however you word that, like you'll get your money back or whatever. Like maybe a chunk of money, half of it, something like that. But like the winner gets good money, and then they'll play games in the playoffs where they'll like wager, be like, "Hey, dude, you want to play for an extra?" Or they're playing for 1,500, but like if you win, you take 1,000, and five. When I take 1,000 or whatever. The way he explained it to me, I was like, that's cool.
That's like ours. Like, even, and I got the idea from my friends' league, but like, second place, you get your buy in back. And that's it. Mm. Anything less than that, you get nothing.
That's how I've always played. Yeah.
I think, but like, that gives you that incentive when you finish second. Like, ugh. Like, you just feel kind of dirty. Like, I don't even want my money back. I didn't earn it, you know?
Yeah. Well, seconds, you know.
Second's, I mean, it's good. Cool to be like, I was in the championship game, but...
But not everybody's a winner, kids. Right. Keep that in mind. I know that's what they teach you in school now. Everybody's a winner, but not really. Not really. That's not how sometimes, it works.
Sometimes participation trophies and ribbons aren't all they're cracked up to be.
No, participation trophies are overused. Also, before you say your thing, shout out to Verizon for coming through with the internet today. My it turns out my, what was the screenshot I shared with you, 400 download speed and 3.68 upload speed. So we're rocking Verizon data today. So or at least I am.
Shout out to Verizon. If you want to sponsor this show, heelsandquads@gmail.com. You know, we've been asking for a while. So if you want to sponsor us, you
can do what that. If they actually came.
Dude, I'd be happy with just like half my bill at this point.
They're like, we'll give you 10% off, but you know what? I'll take it.
I'll take it. I'll take anything.
Shit, for some people, that's $100. So yeah,
they've been getting me for years, man. I've had the same phone number since I was 18. Almost 20 years I've been with Verizon. They were Altel when I first got them.
They had shit. Yeah, I think they might have still been Altel when I got on. I got AT&T, and then I switched to Verizon. But yeah, they were Altel still for a little bit. Yep.
By the way, if you're new here, because we have a shit ton of new subscribers, we will get into the album, but we like to warm up a little bit with just some, you know, chit chat, whatever. I do have a quick story I want to tell, because we got kind of we got a few comments on a short that I made out of our last live video we did, and I wanted to kind of give another side of that, because yesterday when I got off work, I went to Dollar General, everybody's favorite spot where you think you're going in for one or two things, kind of like Walmart or Target. And you end up coming out with, you know, $80, and you're like, how the hell do I spend $80 at a dollar store? Mm-hmm. It's very possible. So anyways, I'm in there, and because the night before last, which would have been Friday at time of recording this, I know I have one of those like time spray air freshener things, you know?
Yeah, where it's like randomly it goes.
Yeah.
Sounds like a little, you think it's a ghost?
Little queeferino.
Yeah.
But it smells good. And I'm big on, I like my house to smell nice at all times. So I bought a new, one of those new, a refill canister for that. I buy the wax things for the burners. I got one in the bathroom so it doesn't stink like shit and piss all the time. Plus, we have a cat now, so litter boxes in there. So,
it's just a cesspool in there.
Yeah, when I'm taking bathrooms. A shit, I don't want to smell cat piss. You know,
no,
because he's on this weird thing right now where he doesn't want to cover up his sick that he makes. You know,
so he just leaves it.
I'm like, son of a bitch. But the funny thing is, I'll get to the story here in a second. I changed his litter. I got litter yesterday too. I changed the litter out, and every time, without fail, every time I change his litter, he's standing there waiting. And as soon as I pull the litter jug up and put the cap on, he's in there shitting already.
So I'm just wait.
I'm just like, wait for the new turds. Bitch.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyways, back to my story.
My cat can produce some impressive poos, but go ahead.
Yeah, dude. They're like, and they look like fucking soft serve. It's gross.
I've seen some sausage links that look like them too. Really messes me up. Yeah. I don't do a whole lot of sausage links anymore.
No, I'm not a fan of sausage links, really.
No, I'm a patty guy.
Yeah, I'm a patty guy. So anyways, I'm in like the like candle section, because I always get a candle too, especially this time of year. It's pumpkin spice season, baby, and I'm a fan of it.
Oh,
I
don't care. I'm a basic
but
white
anybody
bitch.
Thinks I love it.
Yeah.
So anyways, I'm bent down smelling a candle, and I hear this cart coming down the aisle, and this lady's walking, and I'm bent over, but you know, I'm getting smaller, you know, I'm a smaller guy now, and I'm short anyways, but I'm bent down, and there was plenty of room to get through, and this lady pushes her cart past me and goes, "Queer." And I was like, "Hang on, did I just hear what I thought I heard?" And I turned around and I said, "Excuse me?" And she goes, "You heard me."
Because of your like, pumpkin spice?
No, because I was smelling a candle, I'm assuming.
Oh, nice.
So,
okay.
So I like, this is out loud now. I'm done thinking in my head because I just see red. Not that I care that somebody would call me a queer. It doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
Because I'm not. And even if I was, you know, who gives a shit? But
we're all a bit queer if you read an English book.
but I was like, "Excuse me?" She's like, "You heard me." And I was like, "For smelling a candle?" I was like, "Ma'am, if smelling a candle makes me a queer, then I'm proud to be one."
Yeah, then I'm going to fly the flag, baby.
I was like, "At least I'm not a slob pig cunt like you are."
Oh, did you say that to her?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Okay. Did she have a fucking cart full of Mountain Dew and Pepsi?
She was a fucking pig. She was sweaty and looked like she just stunk. And it's like, fuck you, dude. Like, I didn't even want to swear in this episode. Like, I was trying to be nice, but just, ugh. People, man.
Yeah,
they're so entitled these days.
That's interesting that she really threw that shot like that. Yeah, yeah.
I was like, who just says that to somebody they don't even know?
Yeah, and I think you handled it the correct way. You didn't go home and post a 3-page essay on Facebook about how you were verbally assaulted. Yeah. Yeah. See, that's what people do, kids. You confront people on the spot. It's kind of fun, honestly, because usually they won't expect it.
And you can say things to people because most people don't know how to react to it after you come back with something fire like that. They're like,
yeah, because they expect you to not say shit. Yeah, they expect you to not say anything, but I think it's fun. So,
or be like, "You want to fight? You want to fight?" Why? So we can push, and somebody calls the cops, and it's broken up before anybody even throws a punch.
Like, that's actually kind of do want to fight. Yeah,
actually, I do want to knock you out. Yeah. I would like to punch you in the throat, but you know, if it wasn't a woman, I probably would have just hit.
Yeah, that would have been cool. Just set him to sleep in the aisle.
I would have called you from jail.
I'd be like, "I'm on my way." This says scheduled. It doesn't say like live right now. Is it?
We're live. Yeah.
Okay, cool. I was just making sure. It's because I'm on my phone. Shout out to Verizon again.
Yeah.
Well, I like that story. That's cool. I mean, I think it's cool that you fired back at her. I don't know. Is this DG in your town?
Yeah, it's the one right across from my work.
Okay. Yeah. That's why you got that. You got that response from her for smelling a candle, I guess. It's a little rural out there.
I even told however you say that word. I was like, "I can't believe that." And she was like, "Who is she?" I was like, "I don't know. I've never seen this woman before in my life." You know?
Amanda would be ready to fucking rock.
Mauler. Panther.
Yeah. There's times where we'd all be hanging out and Mariah would say something and the manager's like, let's go fucking fight him. Holy shit.
You want to go to the Royal and shut it down?
Yeah. Yeah.
She's always been like that.
Yeah. Even she's before me. It's good to have though.
Crappy.
It's good to have though.
Although I wouldn't mess with your wife either.
No, I try to play it cool with her. Yeah. She's had to get violent with me one time and it was,
I think she could mess you up.
I think so. I just leave it be, man. I just leave it be. I don't, you know, I'm not installing my software update right now. Why does it say this?
You know, one thing that I do want to say, because I wanted to get this done, obviously, before football started, even though my Jets don't play till tomorrow. But it's just
crazy. I'm excited for that game.
I'm going to make a bold prediction and say this. Like, if somebody was to have a child, that child's first Super Bowl winning team would be the New York Jets.
That'd be cool.
Wouldn't that be wild?
That'd be pretty cool. Hey, you know what? The Lions are pretty heavily favorited, man. And I was excited. Look, I dig the Chiefs. We're in that area. I've never disliked them. Like, I watched the Chiefs back and Trent Green was their quarterback. Mm-hmm. I have an old jersey.
Elvis Gerback.
Yeah, they're an old favorite of mine just because, like, our location. You're either a Cowboys or Chiefs fan, and I'm not a fucking Cowboys fan, although I have their defense.
Well, we had the Rams back in the day too.
We had the Rams, but when they were St. Louis, Warner, they weren't Warner
and all that, you know.
Yeah.
Well, Warner the greatest show on turf, yeah.
Yeah.
Kurt they were Warner the Patriots was before the Patriots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cuz they were on a run there for a while, but the Lions, man, I was kind of excited to see that upset and just see the Chiefs go 0-1. But again, I like the Chiefs. I'm an Andy Reid guy too. So, yeah,
that makes sense.
But Kelsey was out. You know, that could have played a factor in it, I like to think. But the Lions look good, dude. The Lions look good. Yeah, because he's the go-to guy. He's a fucking train, man.
Well, Tony, the guy that Patty Mahomes was throwing to, had concrete on his hands, you know.
Yeah,
it's like
yeah.
He couldn't catch to save his life. But Dan Campbell, the coach of the Detroit Lions, he is a fucking monster, dude.
Yeah,
he gives no shits about anything.
You can just tell by looking at him too.
He takes more chances than anybody. That fake punt on their own like 15 or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
In the first, I think it was the first quarter, I was like, what the hell is he doing? He's nuts.
He's like, it's opening game, man, we're doing it.
And then going for it with
he's a pretty young coach too.
Yeah. You're giving the ball back to Patrick Mahomes before the 2-minute warning and you're going for it on fourth down. Like, dude has balls.
Uh-huh. Like,
punt it away and pin him back. Like, don't give the ball to Patrick Mahomes with 2 minutes left at the 45 or whatever it was on. That game was nuts. And I'm kind of pissed because I didn't get to sit down and really watch it because I procrastinated and was cooking during the game.
Yeah, I caught the second half of it.
But I watched the majority of it, you know. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, you were out and about. I forgot. You were on the road.
I was at a meeting, but that was an interesting meeting. And I will not name. I won't tell the story. I won't tell the story.
Nobody knows where you work. Nobody. You don't have to say any names. I kind of want to hear the story now. You built it up.
Yeah, but I don't want to just put him on blast like that. It was just a ride back. It's about 2 hours away.
Mm-hmm.
And we stay the night, we do our meeting, and then we go home in the afternoon. Well, we had to pick up some stuff from the warehouse on the way back, so that already kind of had me a little pissed off. And then my cohort that was riding with me, because we'll save gas and I'll ride together, he got sick, and he puked in the parking lot. And I don't like puke.
No.
And
was he hungover?
I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know. I don't think so. I think he ate something bad. But
okay.
And if you're listening to this, I'm sorry I'm telling the story, but I'm keeping you as anonymous as possible. The only people who would know would be if they worked with me and listened to it. But so he got sick in the parking lot. He just goes,
nobody listens.
Yeah, nobody listens. He goes, I'm gonna yak bud. He said it so Canadian. He's like, I'm gonna yak bud. And he's not Canadian at all. So he does that in the parking lot, and then I'm like, well, let's stop at Come and Go, because I'm going to get my pouches on the way out. And he was in the bathroom there doing his thing, trying to get it all out. And then we get on the interstate, and I'm like, just let me know if I need to pull over. And then he finally was like, yeah, you need to pull over. And so I had to whip it over, hazards on. I got semis blazing past me doing 80. And he's in, he's in grass like this high. Just, just yakking and yakking. And that was the last of it. But we made it all the way back. But I was like watching my GPS like, oh, my God, I'm just – I was like, dude, someone's testing me right now to deal with this. Like, and he said, someone's been testing me for a long time. So yeah, anyways, it was an interesting ride back, but I checked on him late. I kept asking him, you good? You good? You good? And he's like, stop asking me, Levi, because I don't want to think about it.
I know how you get like that.
Yeah. I don't like vomit and stomach stuff. It's just not my thing. I can do the shits all day long, man, but not that. Yeah. But, we're getting back, and there's an exit of a town called Goodman. And he looks at it, he goes, good, you good, man? I was like, yeah, seriously though, are you good? Because we're almost back.
No, I'm being serious, man.
But yeah, it was an interesting ride back. And I'm like, you know, the whole time I'm like, oh God, my truck, man. I just don't want anything in my truck, which he's not a child. So he would be like, pull over.
Right.
But yeah. Yeah. So anyways, shout out to my cohort. I hope you're feeling better. But he said he was. So he thinks it was something he ate that upset his stomach. But, you know, you never know, dude. Everybody's stomach's different. Some people got sensitive stuff. Like Mariah, if something enters her body that's not great, it'll just come up. She's like, no. Her body gets real shit. Yeah, she's pretty. Her body's pretty good about rejecting things if she doesn't like it. She's always been that way. Mine will be like, it'll churn in my stomach forever, and then it'll, like, I'm a morning restroom user, and it'll, like, if I have a night boom boom, that's when it's like, ooh, something didn't set right.
Yeah.
Something didn't set right. So usually I'm a boomer as far as that goes, knock on wood. But, yeah, I'm not a fan of stomach stuff, so. That was that. I got tested, but that's okay. That's over with now. It's a good trip.
So much would, for the ring light. I had it plugged into something, and it's
out. 10 out of 10 would do it again. 10 out of 10 would recommend.
Let me see if I can get this
more. I told him next time here. We'll have a better ride. A little better. But yeah, anyways, that was my eventful weekend. We went to the store yesterday. I bought a ghost face hanging figure thing.
Oh, nice.
I got a new Modern Warfare 2 poster so I could flex that I am in fact a Call of Duty player. Yeah. And
well, you need to stream on the channel.
I do need to stream. I also looked at my stats and I am in the top 1% as far as kills go, so.
Wow.
Not a big deal there.
Fancy boy.
You know. Shout out to me for being good at that.
But we'll have to put you in the Hall of Fame for the fifth time as the
put me in the gaming top wing.
1% of the
top 1%ers wing. Top 1%ers wing. I like that. There it is. You heard it here first. And then we also bought the I'll put a bunch of highlights together for you. We also bought the Conjuring Universe 7 film collection on Blu-ray. Wow, but it does
have 7 movies already.
Well, it's not the Conjuring, not 7 Conjuring films, but it's in the Conjuring universe. Now, if I'm not mistaken, hold on a second. Conjuring universe. There's a movie that's not on there that is supposedly part of that. Let me see. Yeah, okay, so The Curse of La Llorona is not on there, and I have not seen that, but it has The Conjuring, Annabelle, Conjuring 2, Annabelle Creation, The Nun, which we watched last night, Annabelle Comes Home, and then the third Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It, and then The Nun 2 is coming in theaters. I think it's in theaters now, but yeah, The Curse of La Llorona. I have not seen that one, but apparently it's part of that universe.
Okay.
And I would like to see it, but it's not in that pack. But yeah, it was on Blu-ray, and she was like, I'll get it. I'm like, fuck yeah, man, because we have The Conjuring 1 and 2, but we don't have 3, and then I've not seen any of the Annabelles, and I had not seen The Nun either, so. Yeah, but I like them all because that's like we've said before. And it's also another thing. I know we need to get into the episode here, but the weather, it's wonderful right now. That's why I got the flannel on. I got my maiden shirt because this is mine from the tour when I went and saw him in Tulsa. The weather's great. So we've already decorated a little bit inside for Halloween.
I did.
We got people talking.
I was looking at the calendar. I did breakfast for dinner last night for the kids, and I did it on the griddle outside, and it was fucking beautiful out. Like, it was a little chilly.
Yeah.
They were playing. Yep. It was nice, you know. The only thing that would have made it better is if my wife wouldn't have been working, but it was nice out. And then this morning, I let the dogs out, and I was just kind of hanging out on the porch drinking coffee. It was nice. Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
This is my favorite time of year, man. Fall is, here.
It is awesome. Yeah, as long as, I mean, I got to.
Except for like mid-afternoon, it's hot as hell, but.
Hopefully we're not going to get another week of 100-degree weather, because I could see it happening. But for the foreseeable future, the next 10 days, it's like the highs are, I think 80-something is the highest. But the lows are in the 60s. We got 50s tonight and tomorrow, and 51 days to Halloween, by the way.
Oh, yeah. That's what I was at the calendar for.
But it's been nice, man. The weather's great. So there was a point I was getting to with that, but anyways,
So I am assuming that our Halloween episode this year will be Friday the 13th, because we've been saying we were going to do it for like 3 years.
Yeah, that got put off for a while, so we'll definitely do old Jason this year.
Yeah, we need to do it. We've done Freddy, we've done Michael twice. We got to do Jason now.
I think the only one I don't have is Jason Goes to Hell. I think, and none of the remakes. I don't have the remakes.
Which
I mean, or the remake, whatever it is.
Jason Goes to Hell and the remakes, kind of, you could skip it.
Well, Jason Goes to Hell, though, has the little nod to Freddy versus Jason at the
end. Right, at the end, yeah.
Yeah, like, but what's funny is it happened like a couple of years prior, I think.
Yeah, like, it was like 10 years before.
Let me see. Yeah.
Jason Goes to Hell was like 90s. It was like 93, 94, something
93,
like that.
Yeah. So 10 years before, because Freddy versus Jason, I think, was 03. You can tell by the soundtrack.
Yeah. And I know, because I was in high school, because I saw it in the theaters when I was in high school.
Okay. Yeah. Same. And I was like 10. So that makes sense.
Yeah. Before we get into today's main show, the
episodic
main event, the main topic, shout out to our sponsor, CopperJohnsBeard.com. We both are bearded gentlemen. Muda, who's also on the channel, a new horror show he's got out. He's been on vacation. That's why only one has come out, but it was awesome. I loved it. Production was great. Very impressed with that. So check out the horror aisle on Heels and Quads Media. But Copper John's Beard, like I said, all three of us are bearded gentlemen. I use it. You can do a subscription. They've got oils, they've got wax, they've got balms, they've got shampoo, conditioner, soap, everything, combs. Yes. So you can do a subscription package, you do it 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, however you want to do it, once a year, or you can just buy one time. But anyways, you can use code Heels and Quads and save 15% on your first order, your second order, and every order.
On every single order. And also shout out to, our short that went a little, well, viral for us, 2,000 views, but
of us and our this week that were really good.
The one, someone in the comments reminded me that I had a neck beard, so I'm going to go to CopperJohnsBeard.com and use coupon code Heels and Quads in all caps at checkout, save 15% on my order.
Thank you for reminding me of that. For a half an hour after I sent that to you.
I just didn't have it trimmed up at the time, but I appreciate you pointing it out so I can do it. And I grew it out for you this week, so if you see that. Put a like on the video and drop your comment.
I have a tendency to forget that I'm doing a live show and won't trim my beard, but I trimmed it yesterday and I'm still in good shape.
You're shadow trim. Yeah, looks good. This grows faster than anything else, my neck part. I just do a little line, but it's like in a day I have a shadow there.
Right. But here's the thing, though. We might have beards. We might sometimes have neck beards, but we always smell good. And speaking of CopperJohnsBeard.com, they have colognes as well. I never mentioned that, but they do have colognes, and I haven't got any yet, but I hear they're phenomenal from and everybody.
Soap to wash your ass.
Yeah. Soap to wash your ass and a dish to put the soap in.
There we go. Going to CopperJohnsBeard right now. Look at this. They got, scents, beard stuff. I think I'm going to have to do a little order today. They got the balms. Yeah, they got just about anything you can think of if you want to be a smell-good male.
Yes.
Or female. Whatever you want to do.
Whatever you identify as.
It is geared towards a beard,
The
someone who
beard
can grow a
folk.
beard. So if you have one, there you go. But copperjohnsbeard.com, 15% off using our coupon code. And I will go on there and get this neck beard fixed up just for you, comment person. All right.
And then, and then you can go fuck your ass.
Yeah, go fuck your ass after that.
All right, let's get to the album. Yes.
All right. So this was my pick, and when in doubt, Iron Maiden out. So I got my shirt on today. This is from the tour when I saw him in Tulsa, Book of Souls tour 2016. Today's album is
2016.
Iron Maiden Somewhere in Time, 1986. Came out September 29th, 1986. So we're coming up on, what is that, 28
that would be
years, 27 years? 27 years, I think.
37 years.
37, sorry, yeah, yes.
I would came out be the year before I was born.
Yes, okay, 37 years. So, yeah, this is the little sleeve. This is the original CD I got back in the day. And it's got, I always love it because it's got all the cool artwork in it. But I do want the vinyl. So, let me see.
I will be picking that up in a couple of weeks.
It's got the good book, you know, you get all the, you get the 80s visuals in there. And there's always good artwork in the Maiden books and their CDs and stuff, but the whole, they re-released all the albums. I don't remember what year that was, but they all got these little sleeves, and then on the side it makes an eddy when you put them all together. So I think I'm missing some, but I have quite a few, at least enough to do most of his face, but they don't line up. So I think sometimes the sleeves are off, or the the inserts inside
the jewel
but yeah
cases.
I definitely I definitely want the vinyl, but yeah, it came out September 29th, 1986. For me, it's tough because it depends on the day of the week every time we do one of these album reviews, but Somewhere in Time's kind of always been regarded as like my favorite Maiden record. I've always...
Well, and you'll eventually get to your ranking videos. So.
Yeah, eventually. But Brave New World sits pretty high with me too, and you like a track on there from the intro, of The Wicker Man.
Yes.
Yeah. That's but that whole record is amazing.
That vinyl's a little like to, more expensive.
Yeah, yeah. Now I would like to do that one at some point as well, because that was Bruce Dickinson's return to the band, and they were a six piece after he returned, because he brought I think he brought Yannick with him because he was in his solo project. I always want to say Janik, but I think they say Yannick Giz. But yeah, that was after the 90s debacle, Blaze Bayley, which, hey, they put out some, it was okay music, you know. I didn't hate it because I'm a fan of the band. It's, again, it's like you with Kiss, you know. You're going to even find the sunshine in the not-so-great records.
If you watch any of my Kiss album ranking reviews, they're all positive, even in the negatives. Got to find something positive in, in everything if you're a true fan.
So
speaking of which, this week, this Wednesday night, I'm recording with Brandon in my head. We're doing a we're seeing if we can fix an album. I won't say which one because it's a surprise, but I believe it will be out on the 18th.
Okay, cool.
So not tomorrow, but the next Monday it'll be out. And I'm looking forward to it. I love talking
to
Kiss.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to listening to it. Well, yeah, of course, you can get going on Kiss anytime.
Mm-hmm.
Kiss. That's who I ask. I don't Google when I ask about Kiss. I text you.
Not much prep is needed for Kiss. But I am going to put out number 6 on the album review tonight. I just did 7 the other day, which was Dressed to Kill, and I did 8. That took 2 months to finally get back into it. I kind of burnt myself out on listening to Kiss over and over and over and making notes. So
I get it,
but I'm back into it. So I want to get it. I want to get this done before, so I can move on to something else here in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, I get
Somewhere
it.
Somewhere in Time.
All right. So Somewhere in Time, I wrote a little prologue here as I like to do with our new format. And I believe Tommy has track to track notes, and I'll just kind of follow up on those because I did not write them. I've listened to this album a lot, but there's still, you know, some of the tracks I don't have the best mental notes on are Sea of Madness and Alexander the Great, Loneliness, Long Distance Runner a little bit, but I know the track. I know the album at least, but all right. So with a band worn out from the nonstop grind of writing, recording, and touring, We get there now, 1986 classic Somewhere in Time. To date, it can easily be my favorite depending on the day of the week. I still remember the night I got my copy of the CD. Actually, it was a school night when I went to Walmart. And this was the CD.
Was this a grandma trip?
This was mother. Mother was, ooh, I was with
shout
mother. Shout out to Mama Zindel. Cause
she should be watching.
She hooked it up. Yeah, she hooked it up with Somewhere in Time. And I think I had a few already. What did I have? I probably had Number of the Beast because that was my first. And then Peace of Mind. Yeah. It's a good cherry popper. Anyways, Somewhere in Time walks so Seventh Son can run, and I'll get into that. Bruce was burnt out from the touring, so he had little creative efforts here. Adrian Smith, Wasted Years, Sea of Madness, and Stranger in a Strange Land, with Harris being the primary both songwriter. The yeah, he wrote both of the singles, which is pretty cool. He's credited on, okay, just those tracks, it looks like he's credited. And Dave Murray's
credited. He's the only credit on those two tracks.
Yep. And he did, yeah, the three tracks. Wasted Years, Sea of Madness, and Stranger in a Strange Land. Which
he's the only credit on Sea of Madness as well?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
Steve Harris on Caught Somewhere in Time. Steve Harris on Heaven Can Wait. I always think it's Heaven Can't Wait. Steve Harris on Long Distance Runner, and then Harris and Dave Murray on Deja Vu, and Harris on Alexander the Great. So, but Bruce came in, and we'll talk about that here in a minute, but yeah. Dave Murray chipped in on the deep cut Deja Vu. With the addition of guitar synths combined with the usual suspect bass gallops, wailing guitars, and phenomenal songwriting, this album was a stepping stone in the band's career. Preceding this, Seventh Son, preceding would be after. Right, I got my grammar right, didn't I? Proceeding. Yeah. The Steps on the Band's Career Proceeding.
Pre is before.
Oh, sorry. Proceeding. Right? Proceeding. Let's Google that real quick because my grammar might be messed up. Preceding.
We haven't done a show in the morning in a while, so.
Coming before something in order. So this is Preceding Seventh Son. There's my grammar error. I said preceding this. Preceding Seventh Son, they would continue the guitar synths as well as a bit more thematic, lengthy tracks. Overall, this album is one of my favorite Maiden records, if not my number one. This and Brave New World are tied, maybe? Although overlooked by the band somewhat, and maybe not a record full of setlist musts, aside from Wasted Years, this record is a standout nonetheless as one of the staples of the first decade. Pretty amazing coming off the heels of the World Slavery Tour, which the World Slavery Tour, if you're not a Maiden person, that was the Power Slave Tour, which they did live after death. Actually, this little Eddie Fig. Oh, I got my short headphones on, so this is the Eddie Fig from Live After Death album cover.
Yeah.
But that was a very, very long tour with the Power Slave. I can look up how long it was.
While you're doing that, we got our first Twitch comment, and it happens to be from a bot. Shout out to Succulent Baby SB.
I want to
offer promotion of your channel, viewers, followers, views, chat bots, which you are one. Thank you. The price is lower than any competitor. The quality is guaranteed to be the best. Auto on. Incredibly flexible and convenient order management panel. Everything is in your hands. Turn it on, off, customize. Go to dogehype.com. Thank you, Succulent Baby, for your fake ass comment.
Good to know that. Hey, Succulent Baby,
what do you think about Somewhere in Time?
Yeah, can you answer that?
For your comment.
Yeah.
Can you say that?
So, Motley Crue is with him on the World Slavery Tour as well. Here's a poster from it.
Yeah.
Yep. So it started August 9th, 1984, and ended July 5th, 1985. 189 dates in total, with 197 scheduled. So things happen.
Fans don't do that anymore. Now they got to have a day off in between.
They did the World Peace Tour, which was Peace of Mind. Then they did World Slavery Tour when they did Power Slave. And let's see.
Which we've covered. Go back in the archive and watch that.
They had quite a few different opening acts. So when it started, they had no opening act. They had one that was some Hungarian band, Warriors in Yugoslavia, except open forum in Italy, France, Spain, Portugal, Spain, and France.
Ooh, they had their balls to the wall.
Yeah. Wasted was Scotland, England, Wales, England, Wales, England. So that was just the big German one. Motley Crue was with them in Germany, France, and Belgium, and Netherlands. And then they were also with them France. Okay, Motley Crue was with them for quite a bit. And then when they went to North America, Twisted Sister was with them. Queen did one show with them. Queensryche.
Whoa.
Wasp, Twisted Sister, Warrior. So they had Wasp, except... So they had kind of a rotation of bands on this tour. But this is kind of regarded as like just an insanely long tour. And Bruce was kind of burnt out from it. So he wasn't super involved in the making of this record, but he had a different route in mind. So he kind of wanted to bust out some acoustic stuff and change the sound a little bit. And they were like, well, no, people expect this from us, so we have to do this. And then they found a guitar synth pedal and started playing with that.
I was going to say, they do actually kind of change the sound a little bit. And that's in my notes, and I'll get to it. But yeah,
this would be the first album where they did that. No, it's still classic Maiden, but with that overlay of synths. I mean, as soon as you start the album, you hear it on Caught Somewhere in Time.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like it's coming off of the bass chords that he's playing. Because he goes, do, and you get that little, yeah. Do.
Like a reverb or a delay effect on it.
Yeah, yeah. And so like that, and that's why I also said this album walks so Seventh Son can run, because Seventh Son added a little more of that actual, and there's actual synthesizers on this, but a little more of the real synths. And then also Seventh Son was kind of a concept album, and this originally had like, this was going to be a concept album, but they were like, we don't really want to do concept albums, but it kind of turned out to be one. Not every track, but it's, if you kind of go along with it, like you got Caught Somewhere in Time, Wasted Years, Long Distance Runner, Stranger in Strange Land, Deja Vu, and then I mean, I guess Alexander the Great, you can kind of put on that because it is about like time travel and shit. But
yeah,
this
I
also,
mean, yeah, it's telling a story of traveling through time.
Yeah. The artwork is also awesome. You'd have to look it up, but there's so many hidden gems. If you just check out the, like, all of the artwork of this, there's like,
there's,
you can
the
see
two
all
minutes
the different
to
bars.
Midnight.
Yep. Yep.
The clock.
There's a lot going on.
There's an Eddie poster from the first record.
Yep.
There's a lot of little Easter eggs on it.
Yeah, there's a book of Easter eggs here. It's on here somewhere. Yeah, the cover artwork, there's a ton, like there's like a whole lecture on what's in there. So just check that. It's just on the Wikipedia, but anyways, yeah, we can get into the album. I got rambling on it, but it's a good record, and it's not one that some people don't see it as one of the greatest, but I think it's also like a nostalgia thing, and it holds like a special place in my heart. Cause like, I remember the night getting home from Walmart, it was a school night. I was listening to it on my stereo, and I was like, cool, I'm gonna listen to this on the bus in the morning. And I still remember the ride listening to it on the bus in the morning on my Walkman. And yeah, it's a special record. So
yeah, I was going to ask you, because I mean, I'm not, you know, I mean, I love Iron Maiden, but I'm not like, you know, they're not like my favorite, you know
what
I mean?
Yeah.
So I was going to ask you, like, is this one that's like highly regarded in the fan circle, or is this one kind of like so-so, or is it like,
it's like so-so.
You either love it or you hate it.
You either love it or you're like, I'll accept it. I don't know that there's many that hate it. I'm sure there's the fan base that's like, oh my god, they added synths, that's not heavy metal, so they probably got pissed off about it. But like, if you read reviews on it and stuff, a lot of people are like, they kind of struck out, and nobody really shits on it per se, because you still get a couple good tracks out of this album. As far as
I mean I've listened to it 8 times this week, and I love it.
Yeah, I think it's great.
I didn't get tired of it. Yeah
it's one that I've listened to for 20 years
progression
now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love this record.
I guess,
but
I'll,
yeah, it's
open
so
it up
so
with my notes, since you didn't really take track by
yeah,
track
go
notes,
ahead
and then you can just
we'll piggyback.
Fill in the gaps and so Caught Somewhere in Time, I've got dueling guitar with synth open, drums and bass kick in, and we're galloping, tempo picks up, and we finally get the sound of Bruce Dickinson flying us through time, because he's a pilot.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. While not the screeching notes of a Rob Halford, his control on his vocal inflections is out of control. Of course, the band is tight, and a cool squealing guitar during the solo is the cherry on top of this terrific opener.
Yeah, I mean, that's about it. It's this. I don't think any other song on this album could have opened. And again, if you listen to the album start to finish, like looking at it, it almost goes in a perfect sequence, because this is just a perfect opener, and it would be great for the tours, which I think they open with this on the tours. I could be wrong. I'd have to look.
I think so.
Or yeah. Aces High, maybe. It might have been Aces High. But just that. And then even though the chorus is just that. Coach somewhere. Like, just Bruce's delivery, man. You know?
His inflections, yeah.
And you get the Steve Harris, you know, but it's just a solid opener, man. It's basically the title track with Caught in it. But yeah, I don't have a ton to say about it other than praise. It's just, I think it's a phenomenal opener to a phenomenal album, man. So like it. Go ahead with Wasted Years.
My notes. Love the bass mocking the guitar intro. While not a fast ripping song, it's got a great groove and excellent melody that gives you that bopping feeling. Like, you know, you're kind of, you're not headbanging, but you're bopping along. That leaves you tapping. An amazing chorus that even non-Maidenheads can sing along with. The bass line under it is fucking awesome. Steve Harris is a god among men, easily in my top five favorite Maiden songs. I know it's a single, but man, this song is so fucking catchy. Like,
it is, and it's one that's traveled still every set list, man.
And I read that they traditionally don't play a lot from this album, except for this tour. Nope. They've kind of brought it back, but
And they did the Somewhere on Tour or some recently. Yeah. They did a Somewhere in Time tour.
Yeah,
and I think it was after
tour, doing it again quite a bit. I think they're doing like 4 or 5 songs from this album on this tour that they're on now.
Probably do Caught Summer Time, Wasted Years, Heaven Can Wait, and Stranger in a Strange Land, which actually you'll be surprised at what my favorite song is, and we'll see what yours is here later. But and then the bass comes in a little later, and then from the coast to goal across the seven seas. Like, it's just a great song, man. Wasted Years. And again, I'm pretty sure it's the only one that's, when I saw him, this was on the encore part of the set list. So they did Blood Brothers, Wasted Years, and then I think Run to the Hills to finish. This is one, though, that, like, it's climbed up there with, like, Your Number of the Beast and Run to the Hills and Aces High and all that.
It's really good, and it's really catchy, like I said, you know?
Yeah.
So that makes sense to put it in the encore.
Understand. What's your time? I was searching for those Wasted Years. But yeah, and you can also, for anybody who wants to watch it, all of the early days Iron Maiden videos are on YouTube, part 1, part 2, part 3. This is on part 3, so they get to Seventh Son, and then that's about where it cuts off. I'm still waiting on part 4, so Maiden, are you
going to part 4?
Because I'd like to know about
that. Part 3 actually popped up in my YouTube thing this morning, my algorithm.
Yeah, and it comes on...
My algae rhythm.
That comes with Maiden England 88 DVD, which I have over there somewhere hidden.
But somewhere in time over there.
Somewhere in time over there.
All right. Sea of Madness. This is one you said you didn't have a ton on, right?
Yeah. Like, I remember the riff and everything, but I don't. It's not one that, like, sticks with me.
Which is kind of funny, because I actually really enjoy this song.
It's a great track.
Picking the pace back up a little, the guitar seems a little crunchy on this one. Even in the solo, they just seem to have a little something extra. You know, one of my favorite things about Maiden, how high the bass is in the mix. That's no surprise to anybody that listens to the show or watches it. The breakdown after the solo, the bass, the little pick and riff he does, or the finger pick and riff he does. So fucking cool. Sea of Madness doesn't let me down either with the bass. It's just as audible as part of the song as the lyrics, which here are perfectly flawless. An excellent performance by Bruce.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And hey, that's another thing too. You said about the bass. Steve's bass stands out in the mix and all the tracks, but it's not, and I like low end, like that below 100 hertz, but his is not that low to where, like, your speakers aren't really thumping, but you hear his bass more of like, it's very mid range.
It's part of the melody, you know?
He plays it like an instrument. It definitely plays like an instrument rather than, which I know that sounds dumb, but like sometimes bass will just kind of mock the guitar, and that's fine because it's just, that's what it's there to do. But Steve's always been an extra instrument. Like there's songs that are centered around the bass.
Yeah. Well, that's a problem with a lot of bands, is they have a bass player because they, you know, it has to,
you need a bass player with
the drums,
but
it's like nobody wants to play bass because like nobody likes a bass player. Like,
I don't get all the hate, man. Look at all the greats. Les Claypool, Steve Harris, Jason Newsted, Cliff Burton. Yeah. You know, I could go on, but yeah. No, Sea of Madness is a great track, and I think you summed it up just fine. Again, it's just, for me, it's one that like I know the song, I like the song, I think it's a great track, because again, all of these are, but I there's others that overshadow it for me, and but it fits well on the record.
Yeah,
it fits well on the record. But I'm not saying it's a bad track.
Yeah, it's not by any means one of my favorites, but I mean, what does this have? Eight tracks. Mm-hmm. I'd put it somewhere in the middle.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. Yeah.
Put it 4 or 5, maybe. Heaven Can Wait, not to be confused with the CBS show, Kevin Can't Wait.
Can't Wait. Kevin Can't Wait.
Without Headphones, I Don't Notice the Synth as Much in the Intro, which I have no problem with synth to begin with. Eddie Van Halen was already doing it and had a huge hit with Jump, number one hit. I like that a band can tweak its sound yet stay mostly faithful to their sound, which is kind of what we were talking about before we started. It's progression and music that bonds us. Excuse me. In this song, I can see a kid digging this as much as somebody in their mid-30s like me, even into their early 60s. Maiden's demographic is everyone. Just listen. This song fucking rules, by the way, because I'm kind of generic with my notes. The cool harmonic singing chant really sounds great in headphones.
Okay, I like that you brought that up about a kid could enjoy it to an old guy or an old lady, because so Maiden has a couple tracks throughout the course of their discography that I don't know how to say it, but it's like it almost like kid-ish, like it has a very kid-friendly melody and stuff. This is one of them. Can I Play with Madness from Seventh Son is another one. Do tiki 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 do. It's almost got that major feel to it, and I think Can I Play with Madness has that. But dude, Heaven Can Wait is a great track. I love this one, and the chorus is, you know, it maybe it's generic and like caught somewhere in time, but just Heaven Can't Wait, Heaven Can't Wait, Heaven Can't Wait for Another Day.
Sometimes you have to do that to kind of appease that, you know, not so musically inclined audience that, you know, just wants to kind of sing along. Like you always say, they're doing it to play to the live feel, you know?
Yes, hey, dude, it's live feel, man. And they're in seeing them live and watching all their live videos over the years. This is most of the older bands are, but they sound like the studio live. They're so fucking tight.
But, there's nothing wrong with being simple. I mean, you know.
No, simple sells.
That's kind of the point, you know, of music sometimes is like it's supposed to be for everybody. It's supposed to be all inclusive, but like also there's nothing wrong with being, you know, like Rush, where you have to fucking be a scientist to figure it out, or a mathematician, you know.
That's where I was going to go with that too, is like progress, like that's why this music. What's going on? Is it getting choppy or something?
I don't know. My browser for no reason. Yeah, you're good. You're good.
That's why, like, progressive, like, that's why this reaches the audience it does. And, you know, progressive rock or metal might be something that not everybody's heard of, because a lot of that's written like it's guitar players nutting over other guitar players and drummers and stuff. Like, and I like prog, don't get me wrong, like modern prog and djent, whatever, and Rush and all that. Like, I like that because I like music, and a lot of people like it too. Rush, I think, is a little more easily digestible, but like the modern prog and stuff, like, you don't hear a lot of people go, dude, have you listened to Opeth? Like, I like Opeth, but yeah, you know, not a lot of people are into that. But yeah, it's a very easily digestible song, and this record is too, for the most part. You get into longer tracks, not so much. And this is kind of where they start that too, where their tracks get a little longer, a little more layered, and A, B, C, D, E, A, B, A, B, D, C, whatever. You know, there's more portions of the song. But Heaven Can Wait's a little long, but it's a good track nonetheless. Yeah, I'm with you.
It's a little long, yeah, I guess. It's not as... We'll get to it. I'm not going to... Loneliness of a Long Distance Run... Long Distance Runner.
Say that five times fast.
Jesus Christ. That opening riff is so catchy. Another galloping rocker, as to be expected from Maiden. The song is like a movie. It builds, slows down, builds up, pump the brakes. Don't forget the guitar solo. Of course, Bruce does something that catches my ear after the solo. It's weird how I can pick little things like that.
Your vocal like guy. This,
I should say. The way he delivers the line, but do you want the glory that goes? The way he says that or sings that made my nipples hard. Overall, a cool marathon song, pun intended.
I like that. Hey, also, this song reminds me of it. Blade Runner. This is like Blade Runner-ish. And watching one of their shows. Remember when
we did the Quad Star Mornings thing? We paired this with, we did Blade Runner with Misfits. That's right, because it came out in 82.
Yeah.
What movie did we pair this with? We paired this with something else.
I don't recall. Yeah, I don't recall.
I don't.
But they were opening their kind of coming on stage song was the Blade Runner theme song during one of the
ones I watched the other day. Yeah. I saw that. Yeah, yeah.
So this is a cool track that on guitar. Like, there's just a lot of catchy hooks on guitar and vocals, and then the bass is always there. Like, this is kind of just a performance, but it is. It's totally a story. And it's one of those thematic songs to the record. Because again, it's not really a concept album, but it's like theme.
Yeah, it's a theme album. Yeah.
This is one of them. I've got to keep running the course. I've got to keep running and win at all costs. I've got to keep going, be strong, must be determined, and push myself on. You know, so it's just that time. Time is of the essence, I guess, you know. Yeah. But this is one of those standout tracks for me. That's not one that really gets played live or gets a lot of like airtime anywhere. Yeah, but
I really liked this one.
I like this track a lot. This is up there for me. So yeah. Four quads blown. Yeah.
All right, what's next?
Stranger in a Strange Land.
That's right, because I have to move to my computer now for my original notes from Tuesday, because I deleted my notes, for those of you who didn't see on Instagram or Facebook or whatever else, or on YouTube where I posted that we would do it today. Yeah. Bass. While it's not as fast as many of the other songs, its energy has such a great groove, and that's what makes it so powerful. From the lyrics to the explosive instrumental solo, an absolute classic, because it was a single. No matter how many times you might have heard it, the song never fails to leave an impact. A testament to their timeless and unparalleled sound.
This originally, whenever I got the album, was my favorite song for a long time of Iron Maiden. So now, like, I think my favorite Maiden song of all time is The Evil That Men Do off the following album, Seventh Son. But this, just the do 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 do, and then that guitar, bam bam bam. I thought this was in Toy Story for some reason, because there's a song that plays at a point in Toy Story that either sounds like this or No More Tears. But yeah,
is it with Sid, the kid that blows up the toys?
No, it's like, I think Woody and Andy had a falling out or something. It's been a while since I've seen Toy Story, but I always thought this was it, but it's not either song. But anyways, yeah, Stranger and Strange, and this really follows that time theme that they have going here. And this is one that still gets some playtime on stage occasionally. But again, Wasted Years is the top hit from this album that people want to hear. But I think this is, I like this better than Wasted Years. And that's not saying Wasted Years isn't good, but this is just kind of one of my
go-tos. Well, I like it better.
All right, well.
I like Wasted Years better.
You know, opinions are like assholes. We all have one and they stink. But, Adrian Smith wrote it again, like we said earlier. So that's also pretty sweet to me that he, Adrian Smith being, and like they all get creative input throughout the records, but we all know Steve Harris is kind of the main guy and the brain behind Iron Maiden. But this is his last showing out on the album, Adrian Smith, and it, you know, goes out with a bang, in my opinion, as far as what he wrote. Not that they wrote the album in this order, but again, they put it, everything's kind of laid out very well. Stranger in a Strange Land coming after Long Distance Runner. I think it's placed very well in the album, track six. Usually track six can be a good one on records. That's kind of a thing. But yeah, I don't have a ton to say about it. I love this song, the bass line, the guitars, Bruce, his chorus. Da 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 da. Stranger in a strange land.
That's a thing with us, though, with bands that we love, is like we notice like our Tell notes and how we present. It's a lot of repetitive stuff when we're talking about it, because, you know, with bands like Iron Maiden and bands like Kiss and Judas Priest, their sound never really changes a lot. So it's a lot of, oh, I love this bass line. Oh, I love this guitar. Mm-hmm. But still presenting the album as a whole is different than, you know, just
track by, and that's why we kind of did the track by track thing. We don't do it like we were bouncing it off each other. We're still figuring it out, even though it's been a while now that we've been doing it. But Stranger in a Strange Land is up there for me, probably ranked one or two on the album. Well, one, two or three on the album, because we'll get to it. Yeah.
But early on, it was your favorite song.
This was originally when I heard it, I was like, holy shit, I love this song. Yeah, it was my favorite. And then as I kind of delved more into like other songs, and I was like, The Evil That Men Do is probably still my favorite Maiden track.
Yeah.
So, off the following record.
So, Deja Vu.
Deja Vu.
Song starts with kind of like a moody, like brooding. It's almost the guitar sound, it's almost like, it almost sounds like one of those slower Metallica songs when it starts. You know what I mean? It's like the, just kind of like atmospheric, I guess you should say.
Yeah. Where's it at?
Can hear it through your headphones. Sorry. You're good. Drums come in and add an extra punch. The song builds in intensity, becoming a heavy headbanging rocker. A mixture of Steve Harris's signature gallop, of course, paired with Bruce Dickinson's vocal, that create an excellent melody.
Okay, so the song that we talked about earlier that would be surprisingly my favorite, this is my favorite track on the album. Deja Vu.
Really?
I love this song, and it happened probably a couple of years back, because, you know, we go through our music phases, and I was kind of getting back into, I was like, I'm going to listen to Maiden. And I was like, I'm going to listen to my favorite record, and I listened to this song, and I was like, man, I fucking love this track. And it followed Stranger in a Strange Land, so, you know, I was probably listening to that and being like, this is my favorite. And then I went into this, Deja Vu, and I don't know, I think it's just a fantastic fucking song, man. And it's not too long, it's like 5 minutes, 4:55, but that intro, and then it kind of leads in and the chorus, oh, deja vu, I was doing the whole song here. But Aaron, let's see the lyrics. Deja Vu lyrics. Not by Olivia Rodrigo. I'm talking about Iron Maiden.
It's funny, like song titles. You just think you can type in the song title or the album title, and it's just gonna be what you're looking for, and it's like something new.
Yeah, it's not.
Like, yeah. That's been done before, by the way.
Also, Bruce's delivery. When you see familiar faces, when you don't remember where they're from, could you be wrong? Like, I like that. And then where you've been in particular places, you know, you've never been before. Could you be sure? But feel like I've been there before. Feels like I've been there before. You know, his repetitive thing, but just the way he does it, like each one's a little different, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Bruce, that's a good, that's
building up to that deja vu.
To the deja vu. Because you know you feel deja vu. Feels like I've been there before. But the whole, like the pre-chorus and the chorus is almost like one big chorus to me, but just, it's just massive. Just the song, something about it is just big to me. And I fucking love Deja Vu. And I kind of wish it would have been a single, but then again, you know, it's not, and that's fine because it keeps it as like a deep cut that I like.
It's cool when your favorite song on an album is a deep cut. Uh-oh. What happened? Vamp. I lost him. Where'd he go? Go to copperjohnsbeer.com, use coupon code Hills and Quads in all caps because we're professional businessmen. And save 15%. Let me turn off my airplane mode and see if he texts me. What happened? Maybe he got a phone call from work. Please hold while your party is reached. I'm assuming it's a work call. This will be edited out after the live.
There we go. Oh, what why is there two different Levi's now? What?
I gotta kick the other one. What happened?
I got a work call and I ignored it, but I didn't realize that's the downside to doing this on my phone. But
gotcha.
Yeah, Deja Vu, man. Deep track, one of my favorites, my favorite song on the record so far. But again, they're interchangeable, man. It depends what I'm feeling that day. But
now
yeah,
you're super choppy. What happened? Are you back on Wi-Fi? Another hold, technical difficulties. What's going on? I will have a new Kiss video out tonight.
There we go. Fuck, okay. I had to turn off Wi-Fi. God,
I knew it. I was like, he's back.
I turned on airplane mode, and then I turned it off, and it put Wi-Fi back on. And then, yeah, that's sad that the Wi-Fi is that shitty. I got 400 download speed and 3 upload. What the fuck, Cox?
Again, shout out to Verizon. Your data is kicking ass.
Far
tonight.
Superior.
We love you.
Yeah. Sponsor so Deja Vu, favorite song on the record. Let's move on before something
else. I feel
else
like
happens.
I've been here before. Deja Vu. Alexander the Great, the final song on the album. The song is driven by powerful vocals by Bruce Dickinson, of course. Dramatic guitar licks, giving the track an epic feel. There's that word that everybody likes. That can be in the title. That is sure to leave a lasting impression. Song dives into Alexander's need to expand his empire and ruthlessness during battle. The lyrics pre-written in vivid detail are written, not pre-written. I can't see because this is a screenshot, so like half of the words on the left side are cut off. So excuse my reading. And with each verse, listeners get a sense of an adventure. It's masterfully crafted, which, I mean, it's not my favorite song, but it is a well-put-together song/story. Whether you're a fan of heavy metal or not, Alexander the Great is a good track that deserves at least a good listen.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm with you there.
Sorry about that.
So this is one for me as well that is... This has never been like one of my favorite songs. I think, yes, of course, it's a good track. It's a great story. Like you said, you kind of nailed it with your notes, and I'm glad those were your notes because I really don't have much on this one. It's one that I've listened to it and listening to the album many times. But for me, it's that Rime of the Ancient Mariner Part 2. Like it's a story song. It's that story, maiden story song. Shout out. I said it earlier in the episode too, but Dave Murray, shout out to him being a credit on my favorite song on the record, Deja Vu. But yeah, it's like you said, it's them telling the story about Alexander the Great, and it's kind of that show out of instruments and kind of proggy-ish. in length, not necessarily that they're doing different time signatures and weird shit like that, but yeah, Alexander the Great. It's a cool song. It's a good closer for the record with that following that same thing that they did with Power Slave.
Yeah, I was going to say, because we covered that in Power Slave too. It's like a story song to end it, you know?
Story song. And again, it's 8:35 long. I think Rhyme and H. Mariner is like 12 or 13 minutes.
Yeah, that one was a long one.
That's a bit long. It's just kind of one where it gets to a point where it loses you. It's like, I'm just kind of listening to music at this point, you know, because you can't sing that whole time. What are you going to sing about the whole time? Same thing over and over again. So, yeah, that's that. Oh, also, Derek Riggs came up with all the in jokes and references. It took him 3 months to complete the 15-by-32-inch painting of the art. Process wore him out completely as he underestimated the complexity of the artwork, and he said that he would never print anything this convoluted ever again. So Derek Riggs did all their art up until, I want to say, like the 90s. Derek Riggs was their artist. He was the creator of like the photos of Ed. He didn't necessarily create, he created edit, he put Eddie on paper,
right?
So Derek Riggs is a badass, and I think he's no longer with us. I could be wrong. He might still be, but yeah. Anything else you want to add to Alexander the Great? I have my highlights and favorite tracks and all that stuff.
Go for it, man. I got nothing. I got nothing else. I've blown my quad several times. I mean, I like I said, I listened to this album 8 times in full, and then I kind of went back here and there and listened to a couple of tracks or whatever.
Yeah.
Because after like taking notes now twice, it's like I probably won't revisit. I will revisit this album when I get it on vinyl next month, because I am buying it next. That will be my next vinyl I pick up.
I'm proud of you for that.
Well, I want to get all of them eventually, but I'm also still like filling in the gaps in my Kiss catalog and a couple other
Derek Riggs is still alive.
Okay, good to know. Shout out to him. I'd love to talk to him, because he does amazing work.
Okay, yeah, 92. In 1992, however, the band decided to accept contributions from other artists. Fear of the Dark. So yeah, Fear of the Dark was the first one without him. That's what I thought.
Okay, that makes sense, because it's a little different.
Yeah, it's a little different, but yeah. Keep going. Sorry, I'm interrupting you.
No, you're good. You're good. Do your highlights and favorite songs and all that.
Guitar synths, highlight for me. I know people didn't like it, but I think it was cool that they added the guitar synths and it added an extra layer to Iron Maiden.
I'm in agreement.
Melodies and hooks, as per usual, that's what they're great at. Guitar solos and bass gallops, again, that's what they're good at. And then one I just wrote, Nico McBrain. We said nothing about him, but Iron Maiden wouldn't be Iron Maiden without the phenomenal drummer that he is.
There was a couple of times where I almost typed a note out just to get his name in there.
Yeah. Yeah,
but I didn't.
Nico's top tier.
I think I was trying so hard to get this out today, so I was kind of just trying to simplify as much as possible.
I believe he is the oldest member of the band also. Yeah, he's 71. Nico is 71, and he fucking plays drums like he does.
He's an animal, dude.
Healthy as a horse, man. Those Brits are healthy, though.
Yeah. Well, and he loves barbecue, so that's probably a part of it.
Yeah, Nico, man. Nico's a badass, and I can't... Like, Clive Burr was great the early days, but Nico's pretty top tier. Artwork, as always, shout out to Derek Riggs. Like you said, I'd love to talk to him, because he created some of my favorite illustrations. Tons of Easter eggs in the artwork. I think that's awesome that they did that. They opened with the Blade Runner theme on the tour, and then last but not least, Cyborg Eddie.
Yeah. Which is
cool. Favorite tracks, Caught Somewhere in Time, Wasted Years, Strains in a Strange Land, and Deja Vu. As far as those.
That's your top four. That would be your, like, not saying you'd redo the track listing, but if that
those are
was
my
what
top,
you
yeah.
were doing, that was how that would be how you placed it.
I guess, yeah. Get all, yeah. yeah. I mean. I like Long Distance Runner and all that stuff. I like the whole album, but those are my favorites. Deja Vu being my top favorite. Low points, if I have to put low points, a few generic tracks, if I have to say something, and maybe a little too long. That's it. Yeah. But not, I still don't think it's really generic, because they added that extra layer of synths in this, and it change their sound. So I think more than anything, there's not really a lot of low points here for me. Yes, things can be repetitive, maybe, I guess, generic in the Heaven Can't Wait.
But, well, and I said it was generic Heaven Can Wait by my notes being not solely about the song, and like I added the Eddie Van Halen thing with the synth, but I was trying to tie it all together, you know?
Yeah, I'm with you. So that's it, man, as far as Summer and Time goes. I think it's a I think it's a standout record in their catalog, and I will always be a major fan of it. Summer and Time with Eddie.
That artwork is fucking just top tier.
Their outfits were just something else back then, too. They're like time traveler outfits. But stages, you know. But yeah, man, that's Summer in Time. I'm glad that you were going to buy it on vinyl. I'm very proud of you. I have Kiss Animal Eyes and something else over there. What else do I have? Animal Eyes?
You have some, yeah, I know you have something
else. Gonna reach. That's not going to reach. Hold on.
Fine. Take us with you.
We're traveling. Let's take the bass for a walk. Oh, Love Gun. Love Gun. Oh,
yeah, that's a good one to have. I haven't talked about that one yet. I wonder where it'll be on my list.
Where it'll be on your
list. Yes, so I will have number 6 in my Kiss ranking tonight. I got to do a watch along for the, or I'm going to do a watch. I shouldn't say I got to do a watch along. I'm going to do a watch along tonight with the Patreon. We're going to watch the Dallas Cowboys and Giants game. So if you want to hang out with us while we do that, patreon.com/hillsandquads. Of course, sign up $5 a month. You hang out with me once a week, me and Levi at the end of every month, and the cast of characters at Patreon, because they're all a character. Every single person that shows up every week is a walking, living, breathing fucking gimmick, and I love
pretty much. It's cool. Shout out to our Patreons, Eric.
Our draft watch or our draft hangout. We drafted the entire fantasy league, and it was hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah, I was gonna shout out the names, but you know, now I gotta wait for it to scroll back by again. So
there you go. There you go. Here you go. Go.
We're getting there.
Before it goes away.
Mine's just now showing it. Sign up patreon.com/heelsandquads and join Tommy every week and Levi sometimes. I like that little passive aggressive statement there. Thanks to our current patrons, Eric, Muda, Sweet Baby James, Dan, Derek, Tim, Lori, Kenny, and Sal. So thank you all for being a part of the Patreon. Thank you to all the people who are subscribing lately. I do really appreciate that.
Yeah, we're up to 435.
That's pretty cool. And hopefully this video boosts us a little more. I'm sure there'll be shorts, and I have some ideas for shorts. I just have to do them. Yeah. Cool. But yeah, that's it, man. Somewhere in Time, Iron Maiden. Go listen to it if you never heard it before. Go buy it if you don't have it in your collection and you want it in your collection, because it's totally worth it. Tommy's going to do that. I'm probably going to get it on vinyl at some point. And copperjohnsbeard.com, coupon code heels and quads in all caps at checkout. Save 15% on your order. Patreon.com/heelsandquads, of course. You can get our t-shirts at prowrestlingtees.com/heelsandquads if you want that. And yeah, we got other things in the pipeline. So for now, that is today's episode. Thanks for listening and watching. Do it again. Like and subscribe and tell your friends.
Tell your enemies. And next up, our next album review will be Motley Crue's Shout, Shout, Shout the Devil. All right. We'll see you next time. Patreon.com/ Bye.